And now, broadcasting from their secret hideout, Checkpoint XP presents a show about comic books and superheroes. Robbie Landis, Joe Sloan, The Other Identity.
It's a comic, a movie. No, it's a podcast. It's The Other Identity, and welcome to another issue of The Other Identity. If you're new, we are a show about comic culture from Checkpoint XP. Each week at 1 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/checkpointxp, if you want to catch us live, we talk about the world of comics at large. Now, before we get into today's show, a few things. I'd like to remind all of our listeners that we don't just do comics. Checkpoint XP is the nation's first syndicated talk show dedicated entirely to esports and gaming. You can find out plenty more over at CheckpointXP.com. Make sure you also follow us on social medias at CheckpointXP on Twitter and Facebook, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. From our flagship show to the daily shows, as well as Overwatch Gaming, Fallout 76, we have tons of content for every type of gamer. Now, that's done. I'm joined, as always, by my trusty side, my co-host, Joe Sloan. Joe,
look at you! Look at you trying to drop that sidekick.
Co-host. Yeah. I'm sorry, co-host. It slipped out. Mm-hmm. Co-host. We are definitely partners here. Definitely didn't mean to imply that I am better or stronger or have a higher power level or skill set than you did.
Right, just like Jason Todd and Dick Grayson were partners to Batman. I gotcha.
Yeah, see, you got it. It's perfect. Definitely great.
So, here we're back. We're welcome. Our first episode last week, we got to talk about our own personal origin stories with comics and what origin stories kind of represent in comics and geek culture. This week, our first kind of more focused episode, because we had the pleasure of watching Titans. And believe me, no one is more shocked than me when I say the pleasure of watching Titans.
You did actually enjoy it then?
Yeah, I really did.
Aspects of it. Obviously, it is not without its criticisms, as correct, most things are. But this is technically your first foray into DC television, isn't it?
Yes. So I've done the Marvel shows. I haven't done a whole lot of DC TV. I think I maybe saw a couple episodes of The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see any of Green Arrow. So yeah, I haven't done much of DC television.
Well, let me tell you, it is definitely a nice change of pace. I, for the most part, up until maybe I think a season ago, I think I'm about a season, maybe a season and a half behind now on the Arrowverse, which started off great. The first three seasons of Arrow were fantastic. The first season of Flash was fantastic. The first season of Supergirl was fantastic. And then all of it started to go downhill. And they kind of represent, nowadays, they represent soap operas a lot more. Not just in the way that they're written, but even in the way that they're produced and acted, and the fight scenes are terrible. So Titans on DC Universe live streaming, whatever their platform is the DC streaming service, is actually pretty good.
Yeah,
there's 24 episodes coming, apparently, according, I think, to IMDb. I did not expect that many out of it. You're going to be subscribed to that for a while.
I bought into DC streaming service to watch this for the show, and I'm really glad I did, because while I was waiting last night, because Sarah wanted to start it with me, so I'm like, all right, well, I'll wait till you get here, and we'll watch the first couple episodes together. While I was waiting on that, I noticed they had Batman the Animated Series remastered and ready to view on there, so nice. I watched a few episodes of that. I got to see the Two-Face episodes again, Harley and Ivy's introduction as a pairing. Like, this is fun. And I started to like see some like value in the DC streaming service. By the way, Robbie, you and I spoke about this yesterday. The ability to skip intros. Isn't that nice?
Wait, they actually have that?
So they do have that. I'm trying to figure out exactly how it works. I think it might only work when you're watching like on your phone or laptop. I think when you cast it, you lose the ability to do that, which is kind of weird.
Oh. They at least have autoplay, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It automatically goes to the next episode. All right, cool. Which, by the way, what service was it that you mentioned?
Google Play, I think, is what we're watching the original. Well, I don't know if it's the original, but the cartoon for Teen Titans that went from like 2006
right.
to whenever it went to. Me and my girlfriend are watching through that in anticipation for Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans, the yeah. movies. And yeah, we found it on Google Play, and there is no autoplay feature. So one of that us has to get up stunning. Every 20 minutes to press play on the new episode. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about Titans. Do you want to? All right. So first of all, let's preface this. There will probably be spoilers in this. If you want to go in completely
yeah.
fresh, probably you're going to want to put hit the pause button on this, because there's definitely going to be some spoilers. We're not going to go, I think, too heavy into the plot details, but you know, we're going to be talking about the characters and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. That's fair. So we'll say light to medium spoilers.
Right. Do you want to go by the episode, or do you want to start off breaking down the characters?
I think I'd like to start, because it's been a while since I feel like DC, especially within the live action universe, has done something well. You know, Wonder Woman, although, you know, with time, I don't want to say that's it hasn't soured, but people have sort of like kind of realized, like, all right, I mean, it was kind of an okay movie overall. It was just DC's first good attempt at something. You know, we've been hearing good things about Aquaman, but most usually coming out the gate, you expect it to be bad. So I just want to talk about what we liked about it overall.
Well, especially this one, because obviously this one started getting real bad press early on when the photos of Starfire slipped.
Fuck Batman.
The fuck Batman line. A lot of things early on were really playing against this series. And I mean, you know what? If DC has done anything well, it's setting their customers' expectations very, very low. Like,
should that be a strength? Like, should we give that to him as a plus? Like, in the boardroom, they're like, all right, guys, how can we make them feel like coming out the gate, they shouldn't expect a lot out of us?
Right. Well, they've gotten to that point where now if it's at all acceptable, we're like, wow, that was actually really good. Okay, that was doable. And that's how you get things like what we saw with Wonder Woman, where everyone went in expecting another, you know, train wreck. And instead, they got at least a competent movie, and they're like, this is like the best superhero movie I've ever seen. It's amazing, just because your expectations were so damn low.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same reason like Guardians of the Galaxy did so well for Marvel. Even though Marvel had been putting out good movies, when everyone heard Guardians of the Galaxy, they're like, what?
Who?
All right, I guess I'll go see that movie.
Pleasure
and then when the movie's
outlaw,
really
man.
Good... I know, but I went into the Guardians of the Galaxy kicking and screaming. Like, I did
really?
Not
really
movie. And then I walked out like, okay, damn, that might be my favorite Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. Shit.
Yeah, no, I think that, first of all, one of the things that I straight up want to address, because before Titans came out, yeah, people, because obviously it's the usual DC dark, you know, type deal, which is usually an immediate turnoff for me, because everything that they do has to be so damn dark all the time. And why I think Aquaman's going to be really refreshing is, at least in the, even in the promo, the way that the whole fuck Batman thing went down, because I think that was the piece that a lot of people latched onto, was this idea that, oh, he's killing now just to say fuck Batman. But in that particular scene, it's hilarious, because Robin comes down to, you know, stop this drug deal, right? And they clearly all see him and instead go, where's Batman? And like completely ignore him for like a good 30 seconds. He kicks their ass, and the fuck Batman is more along the lines of, man, fuck Batman.
Yeah, no,
I'm my own guy. I'm a real boy.
That trailer really did itself a disservice. That it should have had like the sequence of him landing and them looking around going, wait, where's Batman? Before, you know, the beat up. Like,
yeah.
They really missed the opportunity on that one, because that scene, when you actually see it play out, is really good. Like, that's a very strong sequence, which, by the way, I think that's a good place to start. Anyone who's a fan of Teen Titans Go or of the animated Teen Titans from 2006, they murder a lot of people in this.
Yeah, they really do. It's actually pretty graphic sometimes as well.
And not all people deserve to be murdered either. It's not like, oh, you're the worst of the worst, so I don't feel bad about it. It's not like Punisher, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This is like, oh, you just murdered all those cops on patrol.
Or when the nuclear family goes up to Dick's first, or not his first partner, but his partner.
Yeah.
Or the poor the poor hotel lady. Man.
Oh my God.
She just wanted some dick. Grayson. She just wanted some dick. Grayson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You mean Rick.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Rick. Yeah. By the way, there's definitely some times when you don't feel okay about what they do.
Yeah, especially like with Starfire early on, because she so if you're used to Starfire from the animated show, where she's pretty gentle, like, overall. You know, she doesn't take crap, admittedly. She does use her Starbolt, mm-hmm. but, you know,
she's
overall,
very plucky.
And she's a kind soul.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. This Starfire is going to be a little different.
She's
this
a badass.
Like, yeah, this is more like Starfire from, like, Red Hood and the Outlaws mm-hmm. sort of Starfire.
Personally, because I have two sort of takes on it. One that will take us into a whole different conversation that I want to have a little bit later. But knowing that you have a little bit more background with the Titans, what's your take on their portrayal of Starfire?
Okay, so it's different. I've not seen Starfire portrayed quite like this in anything Teen Titans related. Usually, if it's Teen Titans, she kind of plays like the role that the Flash plays with Justice League. She's a little bit of comic relief. She's lighthearted. She's the heart and soul of the group. You know, that sort of character.
What about Beast Boy?
Beast Boy is too. Beast Boy is. Oh man, Beast Boy might be an even better example of that. They kind of both do the same thing.
There's a lot of things in the Teen Titans that I think they actually overlap with, because even Cyborg has a lot of really humorous moments as well.
Yeah, totally. With this version of Starfire, she's much more of a badass. She's much more a woman in charge sort of feel, and I think it's actually a really refreshing take on her character. Because how often do I have to see the alien girl lost on Earth, can't remember anything, she kisses Dick Grayson so she can learn English, and now Dick's in love with her, and that's, you know, I don't need to see that story over and over again. It's kind of interesting, and the way they do it with, like, the amnesia bit, she doesn't remember who she is at all or what's going on, she just wakes up in a car crash.
It gives you a little, it's not quite the same at all, but it's sort of a way to link back to that idea. One of the reasons that I do like this, because I've talked to a few people now who, yeah, their biggest thing is, well, she's not the Starfire from Teen Titans. You know, she was the comedy, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I think to the show's credit, again, I think that everyone in the cartoon, at least, helped to fulfill that role a little bit in some way. I mean, you know, even in some episodes, Raven even, you know, filled in that role a little bit. So
it's what kind of humor do you want? If you want, you know, you've got Raven and Robin, who are the sarcastic humor. You've got Beast Boy, who's the Michelangelo of the group. You've got Cyborg, who enables Beast Boy and has the energetic mm-hmm. booyah. And then you've got Starfire, who is the kind of almost slapstick, more, you know, just, you know, lost in the world.
Right. And when you have a show like this, when you get more into the live action realm, especially if you're going to go really dark with it, you really only kind of need one person to fill that comic relief role, which, by the way, I think out of all the characters, Beast Boy is the one who's probably most true to his cartoon counterparts. And
Do you feel like that's kind of almost to his detriment in this show? Because
because he actually, of everyone, has had the least amount of screen time.
Okay, so, and that's what I was about to mention, is of the 7 episodes that I've seen, in full disclosure, I did fall asleep during the Doom Patrol episode, which I'm assuming is going to be the one that gave him a little bit more background. Mm-hmm. Like, I picked up most of it from the context in the next episode.
He's a bit more sympathetic in this than he is in the cartoons. I think he's more relatable, and if I had to pick anyone to sort of be a vessel for the audience, it might be him.
Have we seen him transform into something that isn't a tiger yet?
No. And actually, that's something else that I want to get into here in a bit. But really quick, back to Starfire. Even though she is a far cry from what anybody might be used to in any of her different iterations, I think that this might be one of the better versions of Starfire, because, you know, obviously when you're talking about a strong female protagonist, she's that in absolute spades, and it works so well in this because she is straight up, she's not just an equal to Dick, like, they are straight up kind of rivals in a way. You can tell right off the bat, neither one of them really has like a one-up on the other.
Yeah, it makes me think of like the more recent animated movies like Judas Contract and stuff like that, where Starfire is now the leader of the Teen Titans because, you know, Dick Grayson's gone on to do other things.
But even in that, she was kind of struggling to sort of fill that role.
Sure.
In Titans, she would not struggle at all. Like, she is in charge.
Yeah, I agree. This is, from terms of a strength of character, this Starfire is almost second to none. She is very in control, very powerful.
In fact, if it wasn't for the amnesia, because, I mean, you know, look at all the different research and different episodes that you see that she's done. If it wasn't for the amnesia, she would blow Dick right out of the water.
No pun intended.
I see what you did there. By the way, so, I mean, admittedly, this might just be my lack of knowledge on Starfire. The whole absorbs energy from the sun to get, like, you know, she's kind of Superman-esque in that way.
Sure, sure.
I don't recall that being a thing about her, or a focus around her. Like Starfire has never seemed like she has any problem fighting at night.
I agree. I don't think so either. And to now go back around to what you were asking about Beast Boy, I think that they wanted to find ways to limit, maybe not limit their power, but find ways to so that they're not all powerful, so that they sort of have weaknesses, right? Starfire.
I get the feeling with Beast Boy that he has to transform into things of similar size to him.
Well, so far, he actually says, I think in the Doom Patrol episode, that he can only transform into a tiger. And the doctor, I forget the doctor's name in Doom Patrol, had a theory on why that is. But I think that that's, at least right now, again, another way to sort of put a kind of limit. You know, it gives him a way to sort of grow. I fully expect that if not by the end of the season, well, actually 24, I'm sure it won't even be by the end of the season. But, you know, as their powers grow, as they try to master them, we'll see him hopefully begin to be able to transform into different things as well.
Right. And I mean, it's a good point. Like, you look at Raven, making her, by the way, good that this series, as the 2016 Titans did, recognizes that Raven's story is the most inherently interesting. It's the one that you can really build a show's plot around. Mm-hmm. Raven is damn near demigod powerful. You have to have a way of limiting her strength. If you can't introduce fully powered Raven at the beginning of this show, because fully powered Raven doesn't need a team around her.
Yeah,
fully
yeah.
powered Raven can, is, you know, Superman.
It's, like, it's terrifying. It's terrifying.
Exactly.
And I really like, too, that instead of, well, again, at least now, because back when I had seen the trailer, that was one of the other big problems I had, because Raven's my favorite character and she's very in control, is that she's basically just like this scared child that everyone thinks that they have to protect. And I obviously realize that characters need room to grow.
Right.
So we'll see where it takes her. But what I wasn't keen on at first, but I actually love now, is this fact that, yeah, it's not just she has the ability to, you know, use her powers, but that's a different side of her. Like, it's a completely different facet of her personality that she has, like, no control over. Every time it does, like, the whole her seeing it and, like, communicating it through the reflections type stuff, I've always loved that trope in anything where there's, like, the unseen side of you, like the dark side or whatever.
Right, the demon within. Mm-hmm. She, Raven is inherently a very interesting character, and I like that they play up the mom in the beginning of it, the hyper-religious mother who's trying to, you know, contain the demon within. They've investigated that a little bit more in the comics when she went and stayed with her adoptive mother's sister, so her aunt, I guess. She goes and stays with that family out in California, and they're also hyper religious, and they don't get her. She doesn't get them, but, you know, there's no inherent animosity. It's just like, I'm literally have a demon inside me, and you're hyper religious. we're going to butt heads in some areas. Mm-hmm. And that they continue to play with her not having full control over her powers, and that she's kind of afraid of them because she has to surrender a part of herself to that demon inside of her if she wants to use her powers, no matter whether she wants to use them for good or for bad.
Yeah, so what is it that... Well, hold on. Okay, so we talked about it, really, I think, everybody now except for Dick. Right.
By the way, I was surprised not to see a fifth Titan. Like, I thought it might be Aqualad or something like
well,
that.
Well, I mean, 24 episodes, hell, you still got time. And
yeah, we or maybe Terror is going to show up.
Not to mention, we've also seen, you know, early on in the second episode, yeah, the second episode, we had Hawk and Dove. Which, by the way, all right, so just really quick, not just to DC, to all superhero live actions out there, right? Marvel does it real well. And honestly, even in Titans, they've done it pretty well. Up until Hawk and Dove, you don't have to have comic accurate costumes for everyone. In some cases, take some creative liberties, make it a bit more like, would someone really dress up in this in real life?
Right. Well, and you see, they do it really well with Raven, the hood, you know, the hoodie she has on. It's her classic hood.
Yeah, that was another thing that in the trailer, I'm like, she doesn't look like Raven. But when you really think about it, like, you can't really make her look like Raven does in real life.
Because it makes no sense.
It doesn't.
Like Beast Boy's weird skin tight change-o suit that I do like that they made it. So he's like, no, I've got to get naked. Like, I like that they went that route with it. But yeah, they do a good job with most of the costumes until, like you say, episode two, you see Hawk and Dove, and you're like,
why?
You guys wear that, do you? That's
yeah,
interesting.
Uh-huh. But no, I fully think that we'll see more of some of the Titan side characters. I don't know if we'll go so far as to see, like, Kid Flash or Wally or someone like that, or Terra, I think we absolutely could see.
Terra makes sense. She's an inherent Titans character.
Yeah, yeah.
I think what they do well is the same comment that I always say about Justice League Unlimited is things like Hawk and Dove, taking characters that your average comic fan is like, have I heard of them? Who is Hawk and Dove? Or even the Doom Patrol, where most people don't know what the Doom Patrol is.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a good job of bringing them onto the screen and managing to make them interesting. Hawk and Dove was a legitimately interesting dynamic, the kind of love triangle that's going on with Robin involved. It's interesting.
Yeah.
And they do a good job with it. And another one, Jason Todd, maybe one of my least favorite characters of all time. I love Jason Todd in this.
Even when he's shooting cops?
I don't love him like, wow, he's a great guy.
Well, I mean, I get it. I get Jason Todd's character, too. And the bar scene kind of alluded to the fact that despite how he's acting, he's not the perfect Robin either. He has his own problems. But I just felt like the whole cop thing, like, that went way far, fast.
Yeah, that definitely went over the line real quick. Jason Todd, you're right. Like every Robin, they have some sort of problem with them. You know, Dick Grayson is obsessed with revenge. He's very much he's too much like Batman. And Jason Todd, ironic given the way he died, is almost too much like someone like the Joker. He's almost an agent of chaos who just thinks that the ability to beat up bad guys is awesome, mm-hmm. and he's going to go with mm-hmm. it. Life's dealt him a shitty hand, and now he's playing it.
Can I just say, too, about Dick Grayson's character? I love the actor. I love him as, like, adult Dick Grayson in this whole trying to leave Robin and that part of his life behind and find his own way, which, you know, right from episode one, I'm like, oh, we're totally going to see him become Nightwing by the end of it. Like I love that whole thing. But the flashbacks to Kid Dick, can we not? I think like maybe the first, maybe the second one like worked okay, but like they feel like they have to do it every episode, and I'm just like, we don't need to see any of this anymore. Don't fall into the same trap that Arrow did, doing that for six damn seasons. Get away from it.
Is it the actor or the writing?
It's the writing. No. The kid who plays Kid Dick, that's phrasing, is fine. But I feel like the stuff that they're showing us, it's too much of the same thing every single time. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, here he is rebelling again. Yeah,
that's,
get it.
Here's the thing. We needed one flashback in the circus for people who don't know, and it made sense with Raven having the dream. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We needed the flashback of him stealing the Batmobile, or rather, stealing the car.
Mm-hmm. Well, we needed one of him obviously being sent off to Bruce Wayne as well. Because actually, my favorite one was when they'd established, all right, you know, very troubled. He has nothing to sort of latch on to, no direction, and you see Bruce's silhouette as he picks up the, I think it was a note that said, like, I can teach you what to do with it, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was a great one.
Yes, and we needed his first time putting on the Robin costume. Those are the three flashbacks I think we need to establish who Dick Grayson is and kind of what his pathos is. The rest of it, like, you know, another really good scene was in the episode with Zuko's son, where we see, you know, kind of what led Dick Grayson to realize, oh, sure, I can't be Robin anymore. Yeah. That's a great sequence.
Absolutely. You know what show did absolutely amazing with his flashbacks to the kid version? Season one of Daredevil.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To young Matt Murdock and his father. I loved every single, like, none of those, not a single second in those was wasted. And that's, like, if you're going to do flashbacks, that's how you do it, right?
Yeah, I still remember to this day the flashback to when his dad goes in for the final fight and doesn't lay down like he's supposed to. Mm-hmm. Like, that, because you know what's going to happen, and it's just brutal, yep, like, waiting for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... You're right. Daredevil did an awesome job with its flashback sequences. And really, we're seven episodes in, and I, you know what? I mean, they could still stop doing them. If there's no more flashbacks, then actually they did just fine.
Sure.
There just needs to be no more. I know exactly what I need to know about Robin. Mm-hmm. I'm good at this point. Now you can start focusing on his transition into becoming Nightwing, which we do. I mean, at the end of the last episode, we do start to see that transition into Nightwing. We finally
are, right, finished. Which, okay, so I'd like to talk about what we're not super keen on here now.
Okay.
And granted, some of these might be me being a little nitpicky or a little too harsh, and they might even be, you'll have to let me know, they might even be things that is just like a personal preference for me when it comes to TV shows. So yeah, first of all, when he was burning his Robin suit, like, really, just right there you decided to just whip it out and be like, now's the time to burn it? Like, I mean, I think that might be a little nitpicky. Yeah, okay, all right, my bad.
Because like that whole sequence, like the reason they burn the asylum is this is about letting the past go. Both, like, it's obviously on his face, it's meant to be about Raven, but it's actually more about Robin and about Starfire both letting their past go as well. Yeah. And focusing on what they have now.
The other thing, and this isn't even just with superhero shows. This is with any type of shows that feature a team. I get that there does have to be internal conflict as well, right? But the whole Raven, I need to save my mom, and we have to do it right now. And everyone being like, all right, we're definitely going to save your mom, but we can't run in half. You guys don't understand me. I'm going to go do it myself. Beast Boy, let's go. Like, I get having that internal conflict, but that is just the, like, come on, she's not that stupid.
Yeah, right? that one I will totally give you.
Focus more, especially in comic books. Like, you have villains. We want to see the heroes fight the villains, and yes, there should be internal conflict. There should be things that go on between them, but it shouldn't make them look like whiny teens. Like,
especially because you called it Titans and not Teen Titans. I agree that whole sequence was pretty painful to watch, especially because, like, literally as, like, she's leaving, Robin is sitting there going over schematics on how to, like,
yes, like wait, the guards 30 how to minutes
break it. Right, exactly.
30 minutes, that's all you need, you know.
Right,
I actually think
I would get it if Robin had said no, we're not doing that, we're getting out of here and we're going somewhere else, and then she's like, screw you, I'm going after my mom.
Sure.
Like, I would get that. But literally, like, when he's just like, no, we got to figure this out.
Yeah,
you need to figure it out. That's correct.
I think that what they've done with the Dick and Starfire dynamic is really, really good. First of all, you know, you mentioned earlier, like, in Teen Titans, when they kiss, like, suddenly Robin's like, oh, I'm in love with her.
Yeah.
Right? There's so far no evidence that they have actual feelings for each other, but the way that, like, you know, the first, you know, between them happened was just spontaneous. Like, all right, cool, that makes perfect sense, that's fine. And they do still butt heads, but it's clear, obviously, that Dick is the leader, and even though Starfire, actually, she might not be capable of it right now because she has a very sort of singular focus, but they very obviously butt heads, but she realizes as an adult that he knows what he's doing, right?
Yeah, I agree. First of all, I want to mention that scene of, you know, them together for the first time. How good is that sequence where she goes into the liquor store to buy booze? And she's just like, I don't know, what do you think I should get? And they're like, well, it depends on what you want to do. If you need to think, you should get whiskey. If you want to party, you should get beer. And she's like, tequila. And the lady's just like, oh.
No, it's going to be one of those.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I thoroughly enjoyed that sequence. It that made it feel more, I don't want to say adult because that's really cliche, but like a lot of what I see in this series, the reactions that I see are very real. Actually, this is
genuine.
Yeah, genuine's a good word. This is actually a compliment that Sarah paid the show in episode number either one or two. I think it's one. The sequence where Raven almost gets abducted, and it's very much like human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah just like looked at me. She's like, "I really wish this wasn't so accurate as to how this shit happens, because it really is." So I enjoy a lot of the realism that this series portrays for a show about superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
by the way, that first episode was set in Detroit as well.
Oh man, so I was very surprised, first of all, that it was set in Detroit, because usually, you know, like they'll set it in Bloodhaven or Jump City or
No. I think every location they've been to has been a real location. They obviously still reference, you know, Gotham and blah, blah, blah and stuff like that, but
no, but you're right. They keep going to real locations. I don't think they've actually set foot in any of DC's cities. I think it's all been real cities. Epic Lurker is asking in our Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointradio, is this podcast about comics or TV? And you know what? This podcast is about comics and geek culture,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. So, culture in general.
You know, we're going to hit on the movies that center around superheroes and comics. We're going to hit on the comic books themselves. Today we're talking Titans, the new show on the DC streaming service, which I believe you said is coming to Netflix after it wraps up
at
filming.
At some point, I believe so, yes.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, after so long of doing Netflix viewing, I'm dying on this weekly release thing.
Tell me about it!
I'm through the first 7 episodes, and now it's just kind of sinking in that I've got to wait for the next episode. I can't just watch.
And there are I think 24 episodes. You're going to be subbed for a few months here, buddy.
Well, they finally figured a way to get my money for more than just a week, so well done.
That's fair. That's fair.
I tell you what, I'd really appreciate if they would just say, you know what, we're going to release them so you can binge watch them like Netflix does, but our subscription sign up is 6 months.
Like, so they get you know, yeah.
You know, here, you can pay monthly and you get your episodes weekly, or you can pay for 6 months and here it is to binge.
That's hilarious. All right, so overall, though, you're enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, I binged through 7 episodes mm-hmm. of it and didn't really feel like, oh, God, I don't want to watch the next episode. I don't care. The only episode I did kind of feel that way with was Doom Patrol, because even in the original cartoon show, I did not. Anytime the Doom Patrol showed, I was like, oh, God, I don't care. I don't want to see this. It's never been a group that interested mm-hmm. me. So,
yeah, so I mean, the last sort of thing that I wanted to touch on, because, you know, especially with this, is a lot of the blowback that I'm seeing is, oh, well, you know, they're not my Teen Titans. And I think something that we don't really talk about a whole lot nowadays, and I think it's just because most people in general, we've just sort of come to accept this idea, is that comics, movies and TV shows don't have to be accurate to the comics, because first of all, we have what, somewhere like 70 years worth of material to draw from, and how many different universes and stories have happened. Like, this isn't Spider-Man 1 anymore. We've had enough iterations that just like any other form of books or TV or movies or any other type of media, people can take these stories and tell them in new and interesting ways, and that's something that I think we should embrace. You know, you had mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy earlier, right?
Oh, yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy, by the way, guys, is not like any iteration of the Guardians in any form. Like, Groot originally was a monster from Dimension X that was like the size of skyscrapers and destroyed cities.
Right. I mean, it's the people who are the Nova Corps now, weren't they or the original Guardians of the Galaxy?
I think the original even go back further than that. In Guardians, in Guardians 2, there's a post-credit sequence where like a bunch of like the side characters with Sylvester Stallone's character like came together.
Those, right, the Nova Corps.
No, I don't think that was the Nova Corps.
Oh,
but,
really?
But those were like the original Guardians
right.
of the Galaxy. Like one of them was the was some robot that was actually voiced by Miley Cyrus, I think. So like the original Guardians of the Galaxy are actually like super, super obscure.
But that happens all the time, is these things get, you know, you pick and choose what works best from the source materials. Like you said, the Teen Titans, I believe, started up in the late 70s, early 80s. There's been a lot of iterations of the Teen Titans over the years. And yeah, this one is not like any that has existed that I think I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. They're more mature, it is very much modern day DC. It's a darker, grittier telling of it. That said, in this case, it's done pretty well.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a lot of times, like a lot of the issues that people have with like Batman, Superman is like, hey, you realize that it's a comic book. It's okay to have color and be fun sometimes, right? And that's what this does well, is there are times when this is really fun. Like when you meet, like you say, Beast Boy, when you meet him, that is a genuinely fun moment with him, like robbing, like stealing video games out of like a totally not a Best Buy.
Which, by the way, when I first saw that episode, I immediately was like, really? You thought that a tiger was the best form for this? And then obviously later you're like, oh, okay, he doesn't really have much of a choice in the matter. So,
right. She's like, oh, it's not me. I guess I'll go with something else. Oh, that's Tiger today. That's all I can do.
Right, right. So, I don't know. I guess just sort of like my parting words for people, because I was not expecting to like this at all. And let alone actually find some really nice redeeming qualities from it. So I guess that's just sort of like my parting thoughts today, is that just sort of going forward, whether it's a Marvel movie, whether it's a DC movie, you know, whether it's the new Watchmen that are going to be coming out on HBO, like, go into it with sort of a grain of salt and realize that, just like in comics, I mean, look at how many Spider-Men there are with the whole Spider-Geddon or the whole Spider-Verse series that's going on right now. Like, allow yourself to actually enjoy something that might not be what you think is, you know, the penultimate version of something. Just like every other form of media, you know, people are allowed to interpret it, and what comes out the other end may suck ass, but it might genuinely be enjoyable as well.
Yeah, I think this series is a good reminder to not, you know, punish the sins of the father on the son. You know, DC has made a lot of hot garbage over the last few years, and if you refuse to watch Titans because of all the garbage that's come before it, or because it's not Teen Titans, then you're doing yourself a disservice, because the show is, it's pretty good. It has flaws. The CGI is not the best, but overall, it's totally watchable. It's pretty decent. I'm 7 episodes in. I'm looking forward to the next 14 episodes, or however many more we have.
24 total, I think, is what they ordered. So
yeah, the next 17 episodes. I'm really looking forward to it. It's worth a watch.
Yeah, and finally, too, I just completely lost my thought. I have amnesia now.
Oh no. Can you blast sunbeams out of your hands?
Man, do I... you know what? No, actually, I don't wish. Honestly, like, when it comes to superpowers, I would not want something that would be outwardly, like, obvious. Because in today's day and age, like, the government has you at that point. Like, if you can blast sunbeams out of your hands, the government's taking you in. You need something that you can hide, like telepathy.
So, Epic Lurker's asking a great question. Does Titans force Batman into the conversation a lot, or is the show being allowed to create its own popularity? And this is one of the things I think Titans is doing very well, and it's the same thing that Teen Titans did very well. There is so little reference to Batman in the 2016 Titans. I can think of two examples of a time when he's even referenced. This one, it does reference Bruce quite a bit. It hardly ever says Batman, but it references
he talks
Bruce
about
quite
as
a bit.
Bruce.
Right, and he talks about, like,
he's actually talked to Alfred on the phone twice, and you actually hear Alfred's voice once.
That said, no, they are not bringing Batman. We've never seen Batman.
Just as
not
silhouettes in flashbacks.
Yeah, they're talking about Batman as much as you need to allow Dick Grayson and Jason Todd to exist on screen together. That's
now
basically what they use Batman for.
Do I think that they could use him at some point? Sure. But do I think that they're going to be forced to? No. I think that you could go do the entire run and never once actually have him there.
I think literally the reason we're seeing Jason Todd and mentioning Batman a lot right now is to help Dick Grayson's transition into Nightwing. Mm-hmm. And once he's transitioned into Nightwing, there'll be no need for it anymore. Mm-hmm. That's basically where I see this going.
Yep, yep. All right, I remember what I was going to say. The only challenge, the only, for me, big test for this right now, because, again, Flash Season 1 was great. Supergirl Season 1, amazing. Blew actually that and Arrow out of the water. And the first three seasons of Arrow was great. So, for me, the big test of time right now, or the big test for Titans, is can they keep this up? Or are they going to falter at some point? Because Greg Berlanti, who is the showrunner for all the other Arrowverse shows, is also the showrunner for this. So we'll see if they can keep up the momentum. My fingers are crossed, because I do really like where these characters are and where they can potentially go. And the next episode actually is going to feature a lot more of the backstory of Starfire. In the little, like, you know, next time on Titans thing, they actually reference that she's called Starfire.
Okay, so here's hoping. Yeah, you're right. A lot of the other DC shows, I mean, you've talked about it pretty at length. They tend to go downhill after the first season. So let's hope that that this one can keep it up into season two. And really, with episode 7, we've kind of wrapped up the first story arc, you know, the first mini arc of the story. This is where we're going to get our first test to see, okay, now can we transition into them being a team unit and, you know, functioning in that way?
Mm-hmm. If that's even what they do.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Right, we don't know technically.
Yeah, they none of them up to this point, and most of them referenced too, were not team players. So now that the threat is over with, they might just be going their separate ways. Or attempting to. So, all right, guys, that's going to be it for The Other Identity today. Again, we are here every single Tuesday, 1 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Come and join us. Come and hang out with us. Make sure that you also check out the flagship show, Checkpoint XP. Goes on daily, 5 p.m. Eastern, the same channel. That's twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Why am I doing the outro? I'm the intro guy. You're the outro guy. That's something that a co-host would do. We share the responsibilities. You should do the outro.
Oh, goody. Will Joe find out that he is a sidekick? Will he be able to accept it? Find out next time on The Other Identity. Same Twitch channel, same Twitch time.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.